Okay, everyone, Friday the 15th of March, it's the final morning briefing of the week. Tony, you're barely on these anymore. I feel as if we've been doing without you this week, mate. It's good to have you back.
Thanks very much, that's very kind. Yeah,
have I done something?
Certainly not you, not in the slightest. Enjoy your company, it's always good.
I was off
for a couple of days. I was off on Monday and Tuesday because I was in Dublin, came back, and then Ryan had a day off. And then he said the day off today as well, so because he was working Saturday, Sunday. But
yeah,
you miss it when you don't appear on it. So it's very kind of you to say that you miss me. So I appreciate it.
Yes, I think everyone does, to be honest, because anytime you're not on, we get multiple comments, numerous comments in saying, "Where's Tony?" Anyway. Couple of things to get through before we get started in the Celtic chat. This morning briefing video is sponsored by MPH Group for your plumbing, heating, kitchen and bathroom needs. Second thing is a really good offer we've got for you at the moment on the Celtic Way. That's it right there. And yes, it's barely believable offer. 6 months of access for just £1. And if that's not enough, you get a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from the football artist, renowned football artist made by Frankie, makes some great stuff. So you can see it there, actually. That's available to you in just £1 for 6 months of access, Tony. They get to not just hear from you, but read what you're...
It's a brilliant offer. This is our best ever deal. And a kind of call to arms, guys. If you enjoy the videos, it's a call to action, because we can only do them if you back us with a subscription, and we've never really had a better deal than this, so please go onto the site and sign up, because we do need your support to keep the daily videos going. And we also do, if you look on the site, we do the most in-depth match analysis after the game. We've got match ratings and instant analysis just minutes after the game's concluded. We've got data-driven pieces which are helped by partnerships with StatsBomb and Y-Scout. And, we're keeping everybody well informed about anything Celtic related. And then myself, I deal in opinion-based articles, and both myself and Ryan kind of do that, and lots of other stuff we do the video. So, but yeah, it's log on to www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe, and you'll get that Frankie. That's a lovely Kyogo made by Frankie artist work, isn't it? She's very good at them, and you see she's a world-renowned artist, and I think it's a brilliant deal, so take it up, guys. We would appreciate it.
You're a class act, Tony. That's not me saying that. That's David in the comments saying that. So is Hamish as well. David, what's going on? Why are you being so nice? It's sad that I need to say that, but you're taken aback when you get such generosity. Anyway, morning, Gordon and Monty and Kaiser and loads of everyone settling in.
Yeah,
nearly 200 of you in at the moment. Tony, what's the thoughts ahead of another big weekend? Win at all costs is the motto.
Just got to win, haven't you? That's the bottom line, and then that's St Johnstone were one of the teams that Celtic have slipped up against this season with a 0-0 draw earlier in the season. Just can't have any repeat of that, Hamish. Going to the international break, feeling good about yourself, win at all costs, as you say. That's doesn't matter how they do it, by hook or by crook, 3 points. Would love a performance, would love goals, would love to be entertained, but I think winning at this point in this juncture of the season is just a necessity.
Yeah, that's not to let the team off and have very low expectations. I still want to see a performance, but I just think given, what's going on at the moment with it, going up to the international break, to be honest, I think the same exists for our rivals as well, who, a few people commenting on them last night, and they went out, obviously. I thought they looked, quite leggy, and I think some of their fans feel that way as well. So they're very much, I think, of that opinion as well. But obviously, we're focusing on Celtic. I think it's a case of just winning the game tomorrow. It's a chance to go top of the league again tomorrow. And I know they'll play on Sunday. But we saw how they got on last time. After we beat Dundee, their very next game, they lost at home to Motherwell. So I think pressure can do funny things to the best of teams. even funnier things, very funny things to Rangers. We've found that out over, you know, recent years. So I think win tomorrow and see what happens on Sunday. But it is all about, you know, us this weekend. We need to just make sure we do the business.
Hamish, that's the carrot at the end of the stick for Celtic, and it might be for 24 hours, but go top of the league. Every chance you've got to apply some pressure, you have to take it. And that's why I say, yeah, I'll take a win, but I would actually want a, you know, say the words, a statement win. I think that would be great if Celtic could kind of rediscover their shooting boots and, you know, score a few goals and give you a performance in the process. And that would be excellent. But that, I think that's what they have to do. They certainly need to go out and win the game, but you have to apply as much pressure as you can on your rivals to see how they cope, basically, with it, because they are going to Dundee. Dens Partly had a good win in midweek. You know, Celtic scudded Tony Docherty's side the other week there with one of their better performances of the season. So I think they'll still be smarting from that and hurting from that and won't want that to happen to them again. So at this stage in the season, any form of pressure, as you say, can do things to teams and certain players. So just take that opportunity and grab it with both hands and win the football match.
Yeah, we'll go into some other stories and maybe, you know, double back to the St Johnstone game just before we finish. A couple of things happening, Tony. A few kind of stories that will probably get people talking in no particular order. We'll just kind of fire through them. First one, Lewis Palmer. We'd kind of had the feeling that his injury wasn't a bad one because he was seemingly going to go away for Honduras and play for them. You know, even though we kind of felt he was going to miss this weekend. The news is that he looks set for maybe a month out. It's a muscle strain, I believe, he's got. And the talk is that he won't be going away with Honduras during the international break. And, yeah, he may miss, you know, a few matches, you know, for us even after the break.
Yeah, I think that all kind of came out in the wash because everybody was, I think even the managers sort of said he would go away with Honduras, didn't he? And then that all sort of stopped. I think that broke yesterday, didn't it? They tried to turn it into a club v country row. There's no club v country row. These things, the medical teams of both club and country are in constant contact when these things happen with footballers. So you try to make something out of it that's not there. The guy's injured. It's a muscle strain. So Celtic don't want to take the risk with him because we are now in the midst of a title race. So they've every right to say to the Honduras medical team, you know, don't want him travelling. We'd like him here with us. We'll deal with him. And, yeah, I mean, I think Palmer's form has been very up and down, hasn't it, recently? So, you know, people saying, would it be any great loss? I just still think you want all of your players available for the run-in, and Palmer would certainly be able to play some part in it, whether that be a bit part of starting games. But his form has gone off the boil, but you still don't like seeing players out because he's still a potent weapon. He can score goals, he can create. And it's an area of the team where Celtic have struggled. So every time you seem to be getting any kind of head of steam, you get one of them, don't you? Something happens and another player gets injured or... You know, and it's been the story of Celtic season. And whilst I've been pretty vociferous and critical of Palmer recently for his performances, I don't want to see players injured and out. So hopefully he recovers as soon as possible and gets a chance to play some part in the title running, whether that be with a goals contribution in terms of goals or assists, so be it. But we want him back and firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, he's still been coming on in the majority of matches, so he's still someone that Rodgers feels has, you know, something to offer.
Yeah,
I mean, the first comment we got in there right away from Paul was, you know, no great loss. And to be honest, you know, nothing against Palmer. Obviously, we hope the injuries, you know, you hope no Celtic player is ever injured. I'd be lying if, you know, I was absolutely gutted when I saw it because I don't think he has offered as much recently. Like, I think we can cope without him, to be honest. You know, I think we've seen enough from maybe a few wingers in recent weeks to feel a bit better. I mean, the Livingston game, I thought our two best players were the wingers, Kuhn and Maida, and James Forrest looked quite good when he came on. Yang's obviously going to miss this weekend, but we'll be back after that. Like, I do feel... we've got some better options than it felt maybe a month ago.
Yes, I think if Yang was out for a month or Maeda was out for a month, you'd be inclined to be like, oh no, that's a real hammer blow. And I'm just basing it on Palmer's current form. It's no, you know, as I say, I've been pretty critical of him ever since the lackadaisical penalties, two penalties that he hit the same way. I was really annoyed at that attitude, you know, and I don't think he's really picked up since then. I really don't. I think it's affected him a bit. I think the Celtic fans want more from him because there is more there and he has got more in his locker. And I don't subscribe to the no great loss. I think any Celtic first team player when they're out injured is a loss. So, but I just think of the wingers or the options that we have, I don't think Palmer's your go-to man at this moment in time, is he?
No, I mean, Monty's saying, you know, that's harsh. I think that's on me. Palmer is a loss to be needed on hands on deck just now. Maybe it is a little bit, you know, harsh. I'd certainly love to think he could come back and really offer us something. I find him a bit of a peculiar signing, to be honest. I just, I don't know, without, you know, being, you know, stereotypical and generalising, I do sometimes wonder if he has that real drive and heart or whatever you want to call it to play for Celtic. It seems sometimes like he's happy to maybe put in one good performance out of three and kind of think that's good. When he's good, he's very good, and we saw that at the start of the season. But anyway, let's not spend ages talking about and berating Palmer, because he's obviously going through enough at the moment. Hopefully his recovery goes well and he can get back as soon as possible. Stephen wondering, when's Wee Yang back? Open to answers. That'll be for Livingston, won't it?
He misses this one, doesn't he? Because he missed the Scottish Cup tie. He misses this one, so he'll be back for Livingston game after the international break, won't he?
Basically a three-game ban, including Tynecastle, because he basically missed all of that game for lifting your boot up in the air. It's a bit harsh, no?
It was, but without going over old ground, we know how we feel about that. And
I'm over it.
Yeah, you're over it.
Yeah, 3 weeks later.
That's exactly what it amounts to, doesn't it? So, but here's hoping that he's had that time to kind of get fitter and sharper and, you know, he'll be briefed by the manager on what he wants him to do. And you can only learn from that, can't you? Just say to him, look, you know, these are things that can happen. We know what you're attempting to do, but just try and be spatially aware. Because I just don't think he saw Cochrane come. Bottom line, he had his eyes on the ball and everything. So without going over it all again. But yeah, I think if it makes him a better player, then it's all good for Celtic, isn't it?
Indeed. In other news, we must have a game at Hampden coming up, Tony, because the old allocation debate has burst into life. Aberdeen wanted a 50-50 split for Hampden. They have instead been given 19,000 tickets. The other semi between Hearts and Rangers, Hearts have apparently been given 21,000, which I think might be not quite half, but maybe when you take all the kind of corporate tickets, it might be not far off. PA news agency understand Aberdeen declined a deal that Hearts accepted, which was to underwrite the cost of any unsold tickets. First thing, I mean, for a semi-final, we've played Aberdeen in a number of semi-finals over the years, and I can't ever remember them taking anything close to 50% of Hampden, even in finals. I mean, the final we had when Ryan Christie scored, they didn't have, you know, 50-50 for that, and I'm not sure they would have sold 50%. So I find it's a bit of a strange request from them. Yeah. I mean, I'll be surprised if they even sell close to 19,000 for that.
Yeah, correct. Four certainties in life, Hamish: death, taxes, allocations for semi-finals and finals from other clubs, and league reconstruction. You always get these around about this time of year, don't you? You know what I mean? So, I'm of the opinion that, you know, every Aberdeen fan that wants a ticket for that should probably get one. But I think that allocation that they've got is enough. Yeah. I don't think the Aberdeen fans are going to turn out numbers for a club that's, you know, trying to stave off relegation. 12:30 kick-off in Glasgow, they always seem to get the, you know, the bad end of the stick with that one, don't they? So it's, you know, I can understand them, but to demand or ask for a 50-50 split for Hampden against either Celtic or Rangers. I just think it's ludicrous because they'll never sell that amount of tickets for the best will in the world. And you've heard before of teams getting a bigger allocation and then they send tickets back, don't they?
Yeah.
And then Celtic or Rangers always end up with another 3,000 or 4,000 odd tickets. So that tells you all you need to know. And I think 19,000 they've got. So what's their season ticket take up? You know, so I think it more than covers that. It's almost double then, isn't it? So
yeah.
I think that 19,000 covers every Aberdeen fan that wants to be Hampden for that day. And I think that's quite a generous allocation. To demand anything more is, I don't know, I don't think it's wise. Let's put it that way.
I think they're kind of playing up to their support, aren't they? I think they did the same for the cup final against Rangers, but to be fair, that was a more reasonable request, I think, with it being a cup final. I'm telling you, Aberdeen will not sell close to 19,000. I reckon they will do very well to sell 15,000 for Hamden. Do you remember a few years ago we played Hibs? A few years ago, I think it was a Brendan Rodgers initial spell, and I think they wanted 50-50 and got it, and they sold the tickets one end and the other end, and there was a big gap of tickets in the middle where they didn't sell them, and Celtic obviously couldn't get those tickets because they were in the middle of the Hibs end. So that's the reason why we don't do this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that was ludicrous, and Hampden looked sparse that day, didn't it? And, you know, and then that's the old argument about, you know, should semi-finals be played at the National Stadium and all of that, when, you know, so... But I guess when Celtic and Rangers are involved, it has to be the National Stadium because they will sell up or sell out their allocation mainly, you know. But I get that, and I thought that time when Hibs did that, it was just weird, wasn't it?
Celtic were raging at that.
Yeah, because there's a whole block of tickets that Celtic fans could have taken up, and they would have done. So, you know, semi-finals and finals are big occasions for supporters. I don't deny any supporter of any team's right to want a ticket for those matches. But, you know, you have to be realistic when you hand out these allocations, especially with clubs who, you know, you go by their season ticket base and all that kind of stuff. So I think 19,000 is quite a good number for Aberdeen to get. But I don't think they'll sell anywhere near that, especially the way the team are playing at the minute.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to factor that in as well. Matt O'Reilly has been called up for Denmark. He's in as a late replacement for Christian Norgaard of Brentford. So O'Reilly's going to go, after all, be playing with Denmark, which I guess from a Celtic point of view maybe isn't great. Maybe looking at O'Reilly, you know, people have looked at the fact there's maybe... you know, hypothesising that he's looked at Atletico Madrid's interest and isn't quite playing to the top level he was because he's maybe got eyes on another move. Well, he will be very keen to get in that Denmark squad for the Euros, and maybe that's a... Not that he should need it to play for Celtic, and I'm not saying that he does need it. I think he's a very switched-on guy. But there's extra motivation for him to really play well for Celtic and, you know, get called up for Denmark at the Euros, because I know that's something that's really important to him.
Denmark have got a strong squad. That tells you you need to know that he's a replacement for somebody playing for Brentford. So he still has a bit of work to do, Hamish, to cement a seat on that flight to the Euros in Germany in the summer. I think Matt O'Reilly knows it, but I think, conversely, this could be a good thing because you'll go there and you'll get a taste of what's to come, and I think he'll maybe come back with some renewed vigour. And what I'm hoping... that he comes back with renewed vigour and a bit of zest and freshness, because he has dropped off it a bit, hasn't he, recently, and he's got lots of credit in the bank for the way he has played for Celtic with the Celtic supporters, but there's been a noticeable drop in performance from Matt O'Reilly, and you can speculate as to whether it was to do with the Atletico Madrid bid or whatever, or hearing about that interest, but he has a job to do now. He's got two jobs to do now. He's got a job to help Celtic win a Premiership and Scottish Cup double, and he's got a job for himself to get himself. And if he manages to do that, then there's every chance he'll be on the flight to Germany in the summer. So he's got a two-pronged attack here, hasn't he? So and you'll only do, you'll only achieve both by playing well for Celtic.
It might be good for him to kind of get away as well, a wee change of scenery, you know, for 10 days or so, and or maybe it's less than that, and hopefully come back raring to go.
And also when he's away with Denmark, in interviews with various people, he immerses himself in that whole Danish thing. He speaks Danish, and you say that might be what's needed for him just now, just to sort of say, right, switch off from the pressures of, you know, playing for Celtic and go and enjoy a bit of, you know, Danish culture. As I say, he immerses himself in all of that, and, you know, and he is a level-headed guy, you know, so I don't doubt for a minute that Matt O'Reilly will return to form. So I'm just hoping that this might be the wee kickstart that he needs to reproduce in hopefully the next 9-10 games at Celtic have.
Yes, hopefully. There was some chat about Kobayashi leaving, but I believe that's been played down. Have you caught that at all?
Yeah. This is a strange one with Kobayashi, isn't it? It's, I think a move back to Japan has been in the offing for a while, and it might suit both the club and the player. It's just not worked out, has it, for him in the way he would have wanted. And I think he was kind of made the scapegoat for the 3-0 defeat at Ibrox, wasn't he, when everybody said he got kind of bullied and stuff. And I guess that was the case, but he's never really recovered from that, has he, to be honest, in my opinion. And he's looked shaky whenever he played after that, and just didn't look like somebody who was going to command or cement a place at the heart of that central defence. You know, he came in and I think he came in and made his debut in the 3-0 cup tie at Tynecastle, didn't he? And Celtic played very well that day. And he came on for the whole of the second half, and he looked apart, and everybody thought, okay, he's got a bit of promise. But as I say, all that kind of promise and positive comments evaporated that day. Celtic lost in the kind of dead rubber fixture at Ibrox.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was chat about Helsinki as well, wasn't there, which was an interesting one, I thought, in January, that a move that didn't happen. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with Kobayashi. But clearly, what is he, sixth choice centre-back at the moment? He's further down the pecking order than Lager Bielka, and that's some going as far as Brendan Rodgers is concerned. Right, tomorrow we've got St Johnson at Celtic Park. Are you going to do a predicted 11 at some stage? Are there any teasers you can give us, anything?
Yes, Ryan and myself will put the predicted 11 out tomorrow morning. I guess it's the defence that has the big kind of dilemma, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last week, I think myself and yourself, Ryan, and many Celtic supporters, I think the Welsh Scales partnership will be broken up, won't it?
Yeah, Carter Vickers will be in.
Carter Vickers will be in. And I don't know, Hamish, I'm debating in my head whether to even drop both Welsh and Scales and bring in somebody like Gustav Lagerbielka. Because I just think Celtic really need to do something ahead of the Ibrox clash. So they need to start working on something. And the defence is something they need to start working on. So I wouldn't be averse to that, put it that way. I'm not saying I've got Gustav Lagerbielka in my starting 11, but I'm very, very tempted.
Yeah, I mean, we need to get a partnership going at the back, I think, for the rest of the season, but it's just very difficult when you keep picking up injuries to, you know, Narotsky and Carter Vickers in particular. Those are the two I'd really like to see. I think Liam Scales next to Carter Vickers is different to Liam Scales against Stephen Welsh. I wouldn't be against Carter Vickers and Scales. I think that's who will start against St Johnson this weekend. I'm trying to think elsewhere. I think he'll go start. I think he'll come back in for his first start in a wee while.
I had that was in my head as well. I was going to substitute Ida for Kyogo, yeah, definitely. Especially after last week. I just thought Kyogo's contribution was excellent when he came on, scored a cracking goal too. So, yeah, I was going down that route as well.
Yeah. Elsewhere, you know, wings for me. you know, Kuhn would play again, Maida would play again. It's kind of a pretty easy decision given the players that are injured. I don't think James Forrest would start, but I'd like to see him maybe come off the bench later on. Obviously, we're without Yang and Palmer, so I'd have Kuhn on one side, Maida on the other side. Midfield, I think we actually got a predicted 11 in earlier from Monty. So it was Hart, Johnson, Carter Vicker, Scales, Taylor. Yep, so I agree so far. Iwata, O'Reilly, Bernardo, Maida, Kyogo, Kuhn. So midfield, yeah, Iwata, O'Reilly would play. I'm not sure in Bernardo. I'm trying to think what other options we have for that midfield.
Well, Odin Thiago home, maybe.
Nice.
But he's not featured at all, has he? No, he's not featured, has he? And would you let Daniel Kelly play? Don't think he would let him play in such a crucial league game, would he?
Yeah, Bernardo's just, I don't know, he's another one that's kind of sauntering through things at the moment. He's clearly got real talent, and we actually saw it, you know, at the end of the year, but it was, you know, flash in the pan type stuff, and he's really not kicked on for that moment. I guess he's kind of been in and out of the team, but maybe that's down to his form. I guess probably by process of elimination, he is in to start tomorrow, but I just think we need to see, you know, more from him.
Yeah, most definitely. If Bernardo plays, then he has to, he can't be anonymous, which he has been in his last couple of performances. And also, I think you have to ride the crest of a wave with Kuhn and say, right, go and replicate that.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you got to, he's clearly, I would have thought there'd be a spring in his step in training this week, because that was his best game in a Celtic jersey by far. So, he has to go out and say, right, you've got an opportunity here, go and make another valid contribution tomorrow and help get Celtic 3 points and put them top of the league. So, yeah, I agree with that. You can't drop Maida, because wonderful hat trick he got last week, good on him. And as I say, Kyogo, I'm straight swap for Ida, because I think Kyogo deserves it. Adam Ida was a wee bit off it last week, wasn't he? So you just go on what your eyes are telling you, and hopefully, I guess, the manager might look at that and look at those guys in training and think, right, they're ready to, you know, he's going to have to call on everybody at some point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I would be, aye, that would probably be along the lines of my team as well. I'm just wrestling about Lagerbiel, because at time would Brendan Rodgers drop Scales? He's not dropped him all season, has he? So
don't see it.
Yeah, and is it too close to the Rangers game at Ibrox to start tinkering about with your defence again, possibly?
Yeah. Concerns for the game? I guess there's always concerns with a Celtic team at the moment. They're probably our concerns, though, aren't they? Concerns about our team rather than the opposition. With all due respect, it's a case of us turning up and we're not really sure what we're going to get any time we watch this team at the moment. So it's just turn up and see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's that kind of nature of what Celtic team are going to turn up tomorrow. But last week I thought was a cracking cup tie, but interspersed amongst, you know, a lot of the negativity about the defending, I thought there was some good forward play, Hamish. And I thought the
first half, you know, especially.
Yeah, you know, and they passed up several chances, didn't they? In the end, they didn't matter, thankfully. But I was quite, I wouldn't say impressed, but I was happy enough with that. As I say, I never ever thought they were in any real danger. Joe Hart saved it to each then. That could have been a bit different. But that apart, I always felt they were in control and they were creating. And, you know, so I was happy about that, so I'm hoping that they can maybe replicate that and be a bit more clinical tomorrow against St John's, because that's what cost you 2 points the first time round against them at home, wasn't it? Like Matt O'Reilly had a barrel of the chances that day and
failed to hit
the target, didn't he? So
he did.
Yeah, so it's not as if they didn't deserve to win that last time against St John's at home. They did. They just didn't take their chances. And it's kind of been the story of Celtic season at times this season, hasn't it? That, you know, that they've created, but they've not converted, and it can come back to bite you.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, that 0-0 game was a real struggle. And then, obviously, in Perth, it wasn't much better. The angriest Brendan Rodgers has ever been, he said it at halftime. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, better performance in the first half tomorrow. Gordon saying the final sprint starts after the international break and we can't have anyone tripping up. Well, yeah, final sprint. Is tomorrow part of the final sprint? I guess it is. It kind of is a one-off game, but I guess they all are at the moment. It's just ticking them off one by one. Chilpil saying score early and keep going until the 96th minute. Yeah, that's part of what I want to see tomorrow. If we do go out and get an early goal, just keep going like we did the Dundee game. None of this getting an early goal and giving something daft away. I think Carter Vickers will make a difference if he's in the team. I think the defence will look more organised than it did last week, and obviously that, I think that was big issue last week. You know, we got that early goal and I think we did look good at that stage. Then we just gifted Livy a goal. You know, same at the start of the second half, gifted Livy a goal. So hopefully a more polished, kind of composed, resolute performance from the team tomorrow. You'll be doing videos before the game, after the game? What's the plan?
Yeah, we're always pre and post-match, win, lose, or draw. But we'll be on before the game to talk about the selected 11 and see how many we got in our own kind of personal predicted 11s, as we always do. And then we'll be on after it as soon as we can after that. We've done the match analysis and Q&As and stuff like that. But yeah, we'll be, myself and Ryan will be reunited, for those of you who think we've had a falling out or something. Yeah, it's just like, it's amazing, this. It's just the way the days off have went and holidays have gone. Myself and Ryan have not been on all week together, so there you have it. But no falling out. Ryan, I love you, fella. You know that. So if you're watching Top Man, I'll see you tomorrow. But yeah, so all good and looking forward to it, Hamish. But busy day today. Looking forward to hearing what the manager says and the kind of update on various injuries to players, etc., etc. But I always look forward to the press conferences to see what both the player and the manager say. And we'll be putting the Q&As up later on today, and I'll probably write something else regarding what the manager says too. So Fridays are always a busy day, Hamish, you know. So, but there you go. That's, you wouldn't want to do anything else, would you?
Correct. Fabulous. Right, we're looking forward to the St Johnstone game. As we say, plenty of build-up to come to that one, and hopefully things go well. I will speak to you next week when who knows what state things will be in, good or bad. It's it's a big weekend.
Yeah, and it's a big deal for us. Hamish, if you flick up the Made by Frankie picture again, guys, just ask you to subscribe to the website. 6 months of access for £1. It's the best ever deal, and you can, the first people that subscribe can get that wonderful print from renowned football artist Made by Frankie. It's a cracking deal. Log on to www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. It's our kind of call to action, guys, and ask you if you enjoy the videos. We can only do these with the help of you subscribing, and this is our best ever deal. So we implore you to go onto the site and sign up, because we need your support. So thank you for that. Cheers, Hamish. Always a pleasure, sir. Always
no worries.
It's always result dependent, isn't it? Your weekend. So I hope you have a good weekend and your team wins, as they say.
Same to you, and same to everyone else watching this. Thanks, everyone. Speak to you very soon.